Hello, good evening, and welcome to another edition of What Fresh Hell.
This election sucks.
Alongside my partner in crime, my podcast host, and my good friend Norman Pardo, my name is Jason Brown. Norman, I'm going to ask you the question that honestly is the question on everybody's minds as they're talking to each other this day of when this gets posted, the election. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing better now, Jason, that I'm talking to you. And after I read a wonderful article that was put out there by the American Psychiatric Association, I guess,
Yes.
basically detailing that this cycle, Americans feel more isolated and more stressed out than ever before this year, in part because of the election, the COVID crisis. And the shitty economy. So when earlier I've been feeling a sense of dread, I'm glad that I'm not alone. You know? And apparently a lot of Americans feel that way.
No, sir, you're not alone. I've been talking to a lot of my friends leading up to this weekend. Some people are so stressed out they're shutting down all social media for the next couple of days. A lot of people are very upset, very sad, very scared. A lot of people are stress baking. I'm stress baking. Peanut butter, chocolate. I mean, no, peanut butter cheesecake swirl brownies, I believe, is what I made over the weekend, just to have those on hand,
So
just in
you're stress
case.
baking, and that's okay because I'm stress eating this year. You know, I've gained the COVID-19 pounds 7 times, well, 5 times over.
Wait, say that
I've
again?
gained the COVID-19, 19 pounds about 3 or 4 times over. So you know, I got to
Oh
lose that weight
dear.
again. But you know, I have the excuse that, you know, I've also had 2 foot surgeries and I haven't been able to be as mobile, you know, as most people can. So you know, it's not like I can go out and, you know, have a nice fresh walk. That's not happening. So, but hey, that'll be corrected soon, and then I'll be back on my way to fitness, you know. Yay.
No, what we're gonna do, we're gonna make sure that you get good and healed up from the surgeries. We're gonna make sure that we get this absolute plague out of office. And then after that, we're gonna get you on a treadmill and get some of that off. With all the stress baking, I have definitely gained the COVID-19. Well, it's more like a COVID-9 or 10, depending how you look at it. But no, I feel you, dude. But we're all going to get through this. We're all going to get through this, and the way that we're going to get through it is today. If you are within the sound of our voices, if you have not done your due diligence by voting via mail, hopefully 2 weeks ago or three or whatever it was, if you haven't dropped in your mail-in ballot in one of the hopefully legal boxes that are around the country. If you have not early voted, if you are in line, I implore you, I beseech you, stay wherever you are in line, listen to this podcast and
Absolutely.
vote. Because the only way we're going to rid ourselves of the plague, not just the actual plague, which we'll get into in a second, but the plague of Donald Trump and his enablers and handlers. The only way that we will rid ourselves of this is to vote him out, and not just vote him out a little bit, because Donald Trump and his people are ready with lawsuits and nonsense to say that he actually has voted. As much as he will lie to you and say that he has not already put in a plan where he will claim electoral victory tomorrow, regardless of what happens, he has done that. He has done that. He has hundreds of lawyers
He's
ready to go. He has the Supreme
he
Court
already
on his
announced he
side.
already
He
announced his
is
plan. He
ready.
said it. He's already said it that he has teams of lawyers ready to go on at the after on election night to stop the counts.
Donald Trump is ready to steal this election, and it will be on us, all of us, to, if not send a resounding message by a blowout victory by late Tuesday night. But, you know, it may take a little shoe leather on Wednesday and Thursday for us to, and I hate to say this because it shouldn't be this way in a democratically run society, but take to the streets and make sure that he and his people know that our votes will not be taken away. They will not be ignored. And we do not wish him to be president.
Well, they're already, I'm sure you've probably read that Donald Trump is actually hosting a party with 400 participants, an election night party at the White House. You've heard about this, correct?
I have heard about it. He was going to have it in the Trump hotel there in D.C., a hotel which he owes millions of dollars to unknown foreign creditors, but that's another show. He decided to move it to the White House, which I'm sure there's a Hatch Act violation in there somewhere, but it's not like it's his first one, so it doesn't matter.
You know, it's not like you're using federal government property to celebrate your election or anything. I mean, that's definitely a violation of the Hatch Act. But anyways, on top of that, though, in response, there is a planned protest. They are planning on protesting and marching. People that are anti-Trump and anti-fascist are planning a protest outside the White House on that night.
Well, here's the question that I have. Where are they going to be able to go? Because you heard, I'm sure, that Trump has pretty much erected not a moat, because they couldn't dig up the ground around the White House, but they've certainly put up a wall. Maybe this was the wall that Trump has been talking about this whole time. But they've built up a garrison around the White House area, around Black Lives Matter Park, which is what I'm going to call it now. I don't care what it's called before. Around Black Lives Matter Park and around the area to make sure that people won't be able to protest around the White House. So where are these folks
going
to go?
Apparently they're going to be surrounding the entire area. Like, and if they get enough people to do that, I will be impressed. They'll probably get enough, you know, more protesters than, you know, he will have at his inauguration, or that he had at his inauguration.
I would love for there to be more people on the mall protesting him tomorrow and the next day, or Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, than were at his actual inauguration.
That would be great.
That's when he'll get the larger amount of people than Barack had at his couple of inaugurations. That's when he'll get his numbers. People yelling and screaming for Trump to leave.
Wouldn't that be great? Fantastic. you know, let me tell you how I feel, actually, and a good friend of ours actually posted something. I'm pulling it up right now, just so I can read it to you, in case you missed it. Comparisons between Donald Trump and another fascist dictator, Mussolini.
Mussolini.
You read that. Let me go ahead and read this really quick so our listeners can understand what was said. Mussolini had huge rallies, often 50,000 strong or more. He built a private black shirt army that would beat the first voter at the polls, no matter who he voted for, as a warning to all others to vote for the fascist party. He pushed
that they meant business.
He pushed Italy first and created a campaign to recapture the glory of the ancient Roman Empire to it again. Hitler and Goebbels.
Well, now, wait a minute. Before you go on, I believe that's a check, because in North Carolina, they already had the police force. pepper spraying and coming and arresting several people who were simply trying to go vote. All they did was kneel for 8 minutes, and all of a sudden the pepper spray and handcuffs come out. So Trump has already done that. So check.
Hitler and Goebbels please continue. Praised him for using radio and stamping out free press. They modeled so much of his political theater, indoctrination, and secret police. It's a reverse check because, in this case, Trump is modeling himself after Putin. But in the end, when American GIs pushed through Sicily and southern Italy, millions welcomed these anti-fascists as liberators. The massive rallies and the bluster were straw men, and only through violence was his power gained. As the Nazi-installed governor of German-controlled northern Italy, he and his loyalists, were captured by his own countrymen trying to sneak out in Austrian soldiers' uniforms.
That'll be Thursday. He'll try to
sneak out of the country because he's already said he's leaving. The Italian soldiers held an impromptu tribunal, listed his many atrocities, and he was shot by firing squad. Il Duce, which is what Mussolini was known as, his body was brought to Milan, where it was hung upside down, the ancient Roman method for traitors, and publicly mocked by tens of thousands. It hung for nearly a week before U.S. soldiers finally cut it down. So amongst the many parallels, you know, I had to pipe in on this because, you know, of course I have to pipe in on something like this, where I was just excited and hoped that we could just fast forward to the part where we hang Orangadouche's body upside down and play pinata with it in Washington, D.C. What do you feel about that? Would you be down for a game of pinata?
Now listen, just in case anyone is listening that might knock on my door tomorrow, I am not condoning capturing Donald Trump and shooting him and hanging him up by his ankles in front of the Washington Memorial. I'm not advocating for that. No. And neither are you, Norman.
No, I'm not advocating for shooting him.
Exactly.
I would definitely
go for him being dragged out of the White House by the FBI, put in front of a court, have him found guilty of all of the crimes that he's done, and have him perp walked out of that courtroom and to the nearest penal colony of your choosing. I would enjoy that. As much as I enjoy baseball bats, and you know how much I enjoy baseball bats, I don't want to beat the guy with the baseball bat. I just want him to be put underneath the jail.
I'm okay with him going to jail, and I'm okay with someone using a stick and beating him like a pinata. I will even play the cucaracha song or the Mexican hat dance song as. Exactly. As they beat him with a pinata. Yeah.
Go ahead. Hey!
Exactly.
Woo!
You know.
Now, that would be nice. But again, all this, and for any of you who are in line or were in line or whatever, understand that this probably isn't going to be solved by Tuesday night. You're going to go to sleep not knowing who the next president is.
You're going to go to sleep dreading it. But here's the truth. Unfortunately, the way that we have made these, the elections work in the United States is that mailed-in ballots don't always get counted first.
In many states, especially one of the more important ones in Pennsylvania, all the votes that are already in won't actually be counted until 7 or 8 o'clock tomorrow when the polls close. That's when a lot of those votes are going to be counted.
So,
We're not gonna know who the president is Tuesday night. It's not gonna happen. No matter how much Trump screams and yells about stopping the counts of the votes by Tuesday night, that's not the way our democracy works. If he would have read a history book,
exactly,
he would know.
This is gonna be something like what happened in 2000, where we didn't know, we went to bed,
oh God,
not knowing who won. Okay, I'm not gonna tell you.
I'm gonna come down to recounts.
I'm not gonna say that because I don't think we're gonna need to have a recount. Hopefully, we won't have a recount. Hopefully, but as long as all of the ballots are counted, okay.
I'm gonna tell you a story, a quick story. During the 2000 election, I was in college. I was working at my college newspaper. I was the editorial page editor of that paper. And my job was to write and stay in my office and be ready to go with an editorial as soon as we knew who was going to be president. Earlier that day, I wrote two editorials. I wrote an editorial if George W. Bush won. And I wrote an editorial if Al Gore won. And at the very last minute of when they were yelling at me to say, we need something now, I wrote an editorial. I and the editorial board wrote an editorial mixing the two of those. And at the end saying, we don't know who the president is. And we're not going to know who the president is for days. Watch this space and buckle your seatbelts. I'm hoping that we're not going to have to do that this time around, but I am absolutely positive we will. I am 100% positive. And you know what? I've heard every single thing that everyone has put out. I know that Joe Biden is up by 6 to 9 points nationally. Charlie Cook says, Charlie Cook of the Cook Report, a very well known and very well respected pollster, says that there's a possibility that the Democrats were going to win 10 seats in the House. There's a possibility that Democrats will take the Senate. And he says that it's not a question of whether Joe Biden will win the presidency, but by how much. I understand all of these things. But I also understand that this is 2020, and every single thing that has been able to turn pear-shaped in this year has turned pear-shaped. So I have absolutely no faith in anything that any poll has to tell me. The only thing I do have faith is us.
Yeah,
all of us. Go out. Vote. Vote, 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 and make sure that tomorrow, say at 1 o'clock in the morning, we all look at each other and say, "Well, there's no way that Joe Biden can lose this." Then, if that happens, I'll be happy. And so then, I don't care what anyone has to say. I'm going to be worried and eating brownies and maybe drinking whiskey, probably not. I don't have any whiskey right now. I'm trying not to do that these days. But until then, I'm going to be very, very nervous.
So just to let you know, in Ohio, which is one of the swing states, ballots that are postmarked by November 2nd and arrive at a county board of elections by November 13th will be counted in the final vote tally.
Oh, that's
so. So just to let you know, if you're waiting for a swing, if Ohio truly is the deciding state, like and it has been in the past,
it's certainly going to be one of them.
One of the swing states. This, you know, it's one of the crucial races, and it really is a toss up right now.
Yeah, you guys are in the Rust Belt. It's Michigan, Indiana,
Minnesota. Wisconsin, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Florida, and Arizona. Arizona,
yep. Right? Well, no, I'm pretty sure we got Arizona locked up.
Leaning Biden, yes.
Who knows?
Michigan and Wisconsin both leaning Biden, but those were both Trump wins in 2016 as well.
Yeah, anything that says leaning, I don't trust anything that anyone says out of those places. Again, I don't trust polls.
You know, so that being done, you know, that being said, we might not truly know who actually won if, as so long, neither Biden nor Trump concedes the election. If an opponent concedes the election, and let's be honest with ourselves here, Trump's not going to concede. And hopefully Biden's been told by everybody not to concede the election.
No, Biden is not going to concede anything. It won't happen. Barack Obama will fly from wherever he is to wherever Joe Biden is,
and tackle him before
he concedes anything. There will be no concession until it is absolutely 100% clear one way or the other. And I'm putting this on both of them. And even if it is 100% certain, if fingers crossed, both Joe Biden wins the election, Trump will probably never concede.
Well,
there's a better chance that Donald Trump will jump on a private plane and escape to Russia than there is a chance that he will actually go on television and concede the election.
Let's be honest here. The smartest thing to happen, because rather than Trump concede the election, he might try to resign and fly to Russia. However, if attorneys are smart, if the SDNY is smart, they would actually put in a subpoena, but they would, you know, file a motion immediately the moment he decides to resign or announces his resignation to restrict his travel.
I guarantee you that there are eyes on the White House right now. There are eyes from going from as small as the SDNY to as large as the uppity ups in the FBI watching the White House. Donald Trump will not escape the country. And we've talked about this before. Donald Trump doesn't actually want to be president. He wants to be elected president again, so won't go to jail. That's really the reason why he wants to be president. He wants to be president again, so he won't go to jail.
So he won't go to jail, and so he can also protect his son Eric from going to jail.
Eric and Don Jr., poor Don Jr. Hey, listen, you went to Florida State, and I went to the University of Florida. The two of us have seen people high on cocaine before, or Adderall, or whatever it is. Can you tell me? It's not a question of what.
It's a question of what.
Yeah, it's not a question of if. What does it look like to you? Because to me, it looks like a cocktail of booze and coke / Adderall. There's definitely booze. There's definitely booze in play. But do you think it's coke or do you think it's Adderall? I think it's coke.
So here's the thing.
What do you think?
I'm thinking that which one are we talking about? Don Jr. or Eric?
We're talking about Don Jr. Eric's gotcha. Just dumb.
Don Jr., I'm going to have to say that it's probably a mixture of Adderall and booze. Yeah, I don't think he's doing the cocaine. I don't know. I don't see cocaine there. Now it is entirely possible, but you know, we'll see.
Once he gets hauled in someplace and someone gets some blood from him, we'll have a better idea.
I would love to get a blood sample from one of them. You know why? Because as long as we have a DNA DNA sample from him or from Eric or from Ivanka, we can prove whether or not that DNA is related to the DNA that that columnist from Vanity Fair had, or from Vogue had, the one that has the sexual, you know, that case that Donald Trump has refused to provide a DNA sample for.
Well, I mean, when I look at the Trump kids, yeah, there's Ivanka came from Ivana. That's absolutely 100% certain, because she kind of looks like her mom, and like I'm okay with that. Like that makes sense to me. And Eric, you know, he's got the blonde thing, the kind of vacant model eyes. I see that.
Don Jr., I think Don Jr. might have been the milkman's baby.
Maybe. Because he has the familial traits of wanting to abuse drugs, like his I'm not going to go there. But you know, he doesn't really look like Donald Trump.
He doesn't look like Donald Trump.
Doesn't have the weak chin of Donald like Eric does.
Yeah.
So who knows? But that's another show. And again, I would rather not get sued. So let's not go into it.
You know what? I'm gonna go out and say it. I'll tell you because how old is Donald Trump Jr.?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. He's got to be in his mid to late 30s, maybe in his 40s. I'm not sure.
You know what? I'm calling it right now. The creator of Beavis and Butthead, whoever draw Butthead, you know, he is Butthead's, you know, offspring.
Well, he does look like that, and it would make sense. I'm 42, and Donald Trump Jr. is 42 as well. Back when Mike Judge was drawing Beavis and Butthead, he was probably in his early 20s. I don't know if Donald Trump Jr. was like out front back in those days, but he and Eric look so much like Beavis and Butthead. It can't be a mistake. No. Poor Eric. Eric's 36. I wonder if Donald has ever talked to him 36 times. I don't know.
Seeing as Eric is the one that technically runs the business right now.
Oh, he's the one. He's the one that got called in by the FBI. That's right. He's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. He's technically running the business. So, you know, he obviously does talk to Eric. Now, Donald Jr. though, I think that is not the most loved out of the two of them. I don't know. Point is, Ivanka's the one that's going to inherit everything.
She's 39, middle child. And because dad, again, I don't want to get in trouble here, but dad seems to have a strange kind of kinship with Ivanka. Shall we call it that? Strange affinity towards Ivanka, that perhaps she would be the one to inherit the kingdom. But I know Don Jr. wants it. There have been fights between Ivanka and sentient mannequin. What's his name? Ivanka's Eric? Yeah, no, Ivanka's husband. What's it? Kushner.
Kushner.
A sentient marionette doll. Jared Kushner. And Donald and real live bullhorn Kimberly Guilfoyle. There's been some infighting between those two factions as to who will inherit Donald's empire once finally he goes to the big gold apartment in the sky. So there are two factions at war. They're fighting over an empire that probably won't exist after next week. So that's fun.
I maybe it's the American in me, but I love seeing someone taken down a peg.
Well, here's the thing. Obviously, we all love assholes taking their beating. But we also enjoy a good rectification story. I'm hoping that in 4 years we're not going to hear stuff like, well, Donald slash Ivanka isn't such a bad person. I'm hoping for that.
Here's what I want. I want them to be just stuck in the annals of history where they belong, and that is alongside people that no one really cares about. In other words, history books that Republicans write, and you see them at the Goodwill store collecting dust.
Well, 100%. I agree with what you're saying. What I would really like is for them to be in history books. I am begging and pleading. I'm hoping that this entire administration gets well documented in history books. I want for people to understand what it means for the worst possible scenario in terms of what hopefully democracy used to be, and for there to be a big giant red line in between this year and next year, for us to say for this to be America came to the precipice of absolute disaster. There was a situation where there could have been a mass civil war, which incidentally, we would be the only country to have a civil war about the same goddamn thing, which would put us in very, very rare company and the worst possible light that could possibly be. I want for there to be a red line in between then and now saying this is how it could have been. But then on the precipice of disaster, the American people decided, well, we can't have this, and decided to vote him and all of the people in Senate who made all of this possible, vote all of them out. And then in the next 2 years or so, we try to get ourselves back on track. You know, the democracy, the representative republic that America is supposed to be, where the majority of the people in the country get to say the way that the country is driven, rather than by the majority of property that gets to decide how the country is going to go, which doesn't make any sense. That's another show about the Electoral College, which we don't have time to get into, maybe tomorrow or the next day. That's another show.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is that, and just to comp, I'm just going to leave this right here. I would love to do a poll to see just how many Americans actually understand what the 3/5 compromise was.
I can tell you. I know you can.
Electoral College. I wonder if they can tell me what the 3/5 compromise was.
I can tell you what the percentage of that would be. The percentage of that would be the 1/5 of people it's a 3/5. The 2/5 of people in this country that aren't affected by the 3/5 clause. Those are the people who don't know what the 3/5 are.
Yeah.
those 2/5 are the people who don't know. I can assure you that the other 3/5 of the country that are affected by the 3/5, we know exactly what the 3/5 thing is.
Compromise was about.
We know exactly what it was about, and we know exactly why it was brought about in the Electoral College. Which is why we're so for getting rid of the damn thing.
Exactly.
Maybe a little less than 3/5. I don't know if Ice Cube and 50 Cent and Kanye and some of the other people who are already rich, so they don't have to worry about it. I don't know if they know, but the rest of us do.
Yeah. But by the way, speak because you mentioned some folks there that aren't invited to the barbecue anymore.
Not even allowed to sit in the car and ask someone else to get a plate for them to bring it out to them.
Exactly.
They're not allowed in a 10-mile radius of the barbecue. They're out. And I love Ice Cube. You have to understand how much I love Ice Cube.
That's why he's still Cube's. Let me tell you, I can understand where Cube was coming from.
Maybe Cube gets Cube can get a plate. Cube can sit in the car and get a plate. Kanye has to go to another. He's not allowed within state boundaries of the barbecue. He ain't allowed. No. Nah. And 50's dumb anyway, so none of us care. Yeah, Cube maybe can sit in the car and get a plate from someone else based on all the other things that he's done up to this point to bring about black enrichment and black empowerment. Cube's allowed to have a plate, but he's not allowed out of the car. Nobody wants to see him. Nobody wants to see him or his beard or his beanie. No one wants to see it. Cube's not allowed.
But Kanye is not. I mean,
Kanye
lost his invitation a long time.
Kanye lost his invitation years ago. Oh, and let me ask you a question. Since we're talking about this, I know you're Puerto Rican, and these things are very, very different. And maybe you might have a little bit more insight. I have some insight, but maybe you might have more insight into this. I live in South Florida. There is a very large contingent of Cuban citizens who are Cuban males, mostly, who are down here, who are going to vote. There's a very small contingent who are going to vote for Donald Trump because they're afraid of quote-unquote socialism from the Democratic Party. Now, again, you're Puerto Rican and they're Cubans. They're very different viewpoints. But I'm asking if you have maybe more insight into this than I may.
Okay, so I have more insight into this. The reason that the Cuban Party would be willing to vote for Trump is not only because they fear socialism because of Castro. It's because the Republicans, first of all, have sold them that all Democrats are socialists and communists. No matter what, they try to bring that up at any point in time. But also because of the fact that there's a long running history and a long running fear of the Democratic Party, because when they still think that the Democratic Party and JFK stabbed him in the back because of Bay of Pigs.
I was actually just going to ask you if the Bay of Pigs comes into this, because I am well aware of that portion of this. Please explain to the folks who don't know.
So, if you didn't know, basically, Russia had decided to park a whole bunch of nuclear missiles that were within striking range of the United States in Cuba, and had given them to Castro, and was sending even more. And there was going to be an operation called the Bay of Pigs, where Cuban expatriates were supposed to raid the island and try to take over Castro's, regime.
And that shit did not work.
It did not work. No, it was a disaster.
Not only did it not work, it really didn't work.
Yeah, Kennedy pulled the plug on the FBI's cooperation and the CIA's cooperation of the Bay of Pigs, left him hanging with, the Cuban expats hanging with their dicks in the wind. And part of the language there, and they got slaughtered. They got slaughtered when they reached the shores of Cuba by Castro's men, and were executed and tortured. And it was not a good scene.
It's funny that the Cubans don't talk about the damn what happened later about the barricade that we put there to make sure that. They don't talk about that shit. They just talk about the Bay of Pigs. But okay.
No, exactly. And they talk about the Bay of Pigs, not realizing that literally we found out that there were nuclear missiles there aimed at us. And we were warned by Russia, yo, you do this, we're launching at you.
Right.
And there you go.
Now, go ahead, please.
Everyone understands, look, we don't try to back out on people that we're allied, we are allies with, But if you want to know how close we got to nuclear war, yeah, if you want to know how close we got to nuclear war, I recommend watching a movie. Great movie with Kevin Costner called 13 Days.
Yep. That's a great
accurate portrayal.
It's a great movie.
Of what happened.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie, and it portrays just how close, you're right, just how close we were to the mutual destruction of the world.
It literally took a phone call with a pilot that told a representative from JFK's government, from his administration, with a pilot that told the pilot, listen, no matter what happens, you were not shot at. And this pilot was shot at, and you know, was flying a spy plane, was shot at, had damage to the plane, and had to lie about it and said, oh, I struck some birds.
Yeah, no, we're all set. We're all set. We're all set.
To avoid the military from launching retaliatory strike against Cuba.
Well,
which would have brought us to nuclear war.
Well, to bring it back a little bit to the focus of what we're talking, what we're dealing with, because we're running out of time here. I want to get your assessment here, because I have one, but I'm curious to hear what yours is. On Tuesday night at 1 o'clock.
1 a.m.
2 o'clock on Tuesday, 1 a.m. On Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. We're not exactly sure who has won the presidency. Do you see? I don't know how else to say this. Violence in the streets. Do you see the people who, like in New Jersey and in Texas, the people who in North Carolina, the people who are dead set on making sure that Donald Trump becomes the next president, still is the president after all this is said and done? Do you see a violence in the streets? Jumping off from that. Do you see violence from them, and do you see counter violence from, for lack of a better term, our side?
So, here's what I would predict would happen. There's going to be people that are going to act the fool no matter what on both sides. But here's the thing: who's going to start acting the fool first? If it's a Biden win, I see Biden people celebrating in the streets, pro-Biden people celebrating, being happy, having fun, and Trumpsters trying to ruin the party and bringing out the guns. That's where I see the violence happening first.
Where specifically do you see that? Do you see that as a countrywide thing, or do you see that in particular pockets?
I see that in pockets. I see that in the big cities in red states, such as Atlanta.
Sure.
I see that happening in even though it's not necessarily a red state, I see that happening in Pennsylvania and Philly.
We've already had problems in West Philadelphia, especially and I don't want to get out of here without mentioning this, the police shooting death of another young black man in West Philadelphia.
Yep.
If Trump wins, there will be violence in the streets, in the streets in West Pennsylvania. And this is something that I guarantee.
Yeah,
if Trump wins,
so I hate to make light of a situation here, Jason, but they say that they're going to be rebooting Fresh Prince of Bel-Air
in West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Wait, why did he leave West Philadelphia to go to Bel-Air?
I believe he was out shooting some people, all cool, and then a couple of guys were up to no good and started making trouble in his neighborhood.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the cops started making trouble in his neighborhood.
Well, I'll give you my prediction of this. If there are problems in any place in the country, regardless of who wins, what will happen, there will be people who go out and try to peacefully revolt. And then the cops will bring out the tanks and the firepower. They'll bring out the tear gas and the pepper gun, the pepper spray. They'll bring out the sonic cannons, and then it'll be just like it was, just like it's been all year.
All year, exactly.
It'll be exactly the way that it's been all year. People will come out and say, "We don't like this." And the cops will say, "Oh, these people are violent," and start attacking them. Exactly. It'll be exactly the same thing that happened in North Carolina a few days ago, just on a larger scale.
Exactly.
I guarantee you, if any problems happen, it will not be. Let's say that Biden loses. In the worst possible scenario, let's say that every single state that we think is a little like it could go this way or it could go that way, if every single state goes the way of Trump and we're able to by late in the evening, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, say that Donald Trump has won, it won't be Democrats going into the street and trying to start trouble. It will be all the people that we've seen blocking traffic and waving their signs and screaming in the faces of anyone that they can find. All the people who will be very, very, very happy to make sure that everyone who's against them knows who won, those are the people who will start trouble, and nothing will happen to them. Nope. Because if Donald Trump wins, what that means is that our country will no longer be our country. Our country will no longer be the Democratic Republic that we love so much. Our country will be, in effect, Donald Trump's country.
Yeah.
And again, if he wins, well, that's where we have to talk about where we're going to move. Where are you going? I want to go to Iceland personally. Iceland's always seemed nice to me. What are you going to do? You're going to go to back? Well, you can't go to Puerto Rico because Puerto Rico is an American colony, so you can't go there.
I might try to look up the program that was offering citizenship to people that had lost Spanish citizenship because of war, and see if I would qualify for that.
Sure. I don't know how Greenland takes the darkies. I don't know if they enjoy black people.
Well, you don't
there.
You don't want to go to Greenland. Greenland's too cold.
No, I mean Iceland. I'm sorry. I don't want to go to Greenland. I want to go to Iceland.
You might be classified as like some like super handsome exotic guy, and like, you know, the girls may be like, "Ooh, let me try some of that dark chocolate." Yeah. You know,
Hello ladies. Hello, ladies.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Iceland, blonde hair, light eyes, you know, isn't that black man's kryptonite?
No, it is not.
In your case, it's curly red hair.
Okay. You know what?
What?
That's another show.
Okay. But
I will fly to Ohio and kick you in the face.
Hey, come on over here. I got some good butt for you.
I'm gonna need it after tomorrow.
Oh man. I hate to announce illegal activities on a podcast, but that might be the only way I can make it through tomorrow night with my sanity in check. So, you know, FBI, hey, come at me.
Hey, it's legal in Florida. Come down here.
That's true. It's legal here if I have a card.
There you go. We're all set.
Yep. So, but we will be coming back to you folks again once we know more about what is going on with Shit Show 2020 election style.
And so that I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, on behalf of Jason and myself, until then, stay safe, vote.
Vote! Stay in line! Don't let anyone deter you!
Yes, and good night, good luck, and God help us all. Go Biden.
Yeah, that's our show. Good night, everybody.